Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Water negative for harmful bacteria. Staff writer. Odessa can go back to using City of Odessa water to brush their teeth and rinse their veggies after test results came back negative for dangerous bacteria Saturday afternoon. City of Odessa Utilities Director Tom Kerr said the final test results came back negative around 2 p.m. Ector County and Odessans have had to boil their water before consuming it since 1 a.m. Tuesday. The Texas Commission on Environmental Quality requires the city to issue a boil alert when crews were forced to shut down the entire water system following the break in a 24-inch water line at 42nd and San Jacinto Street at dinnertime Monday. Although the city does have a valve system that usually allows it to isolate and fix breaks, the valve nearest the structure pipeline turned out to be faulty. As a result, the entire system had to be shut down. Most Odessans had their water back by late Thursday, but it took a while before the test samples could be gathered because crews had to wait for the chlorine in the system to reach the appropriate levels. It also takes 24 hours for test results to return. Crews finished replacing the faulty valve located at Andrews Highway and 42nd Street around 5:30 a.m. Saturday, and shortly thereafter fixed a minor leak that popped up at the original break site, Kerr said. Board of Education rejects conservative-backed charter school for the third time, by Brian Lopez and Kate McGee, the Texas Tribune. The Texas State Board of Education Friday again rejected an application of a Houston charter school whose founder gave money to a political action committee that backed anti-critical race theory candidates for the board and whose board member accused organizers of the Women's March of trying to impose Sharia in America. The Heritage Classical Academy, which is planned to open in 2023, used a curriculum developed by the conservative Christian Hillsdale College, was one of four applicants for charters that were rejected by the board this week. The election body, made up of 9 Republicans and 6 Democrats, did move forward with a new charter school in Fort Worth, the Academy of Visual Performing Arts, for 6th to 12th grade students. The Heritage Charters application had been vetoed multiple times, most recently in June of 2021. Members voted 8-6 on Friday to deny its application after a lengthy debate on the issue the day before. 2 Republicans joined the Democrats in voting to reject the charter's application, including Jay Johnson, who represents the Panhandle, and was defeated by a candidate endorsed by a PAC and had received money from Heritage Board's chair. The other Republicans have voted against. Matt Robinson is not running for re-election. On Thursday, board member Achey Davis, a Democrat from Dallas, Fort Worth Metroplex, questioned Heritage Board Chair Stuart D. Saunders about his $52,500 political contribution to the Freedom Foundation of Texas PAC. The PAC has raised over $600,000 since January 1st and supported State Education Board candidates who oppose critical race theory, which is a universally leveled discipline that studies the idea that racism is embedded in legal systems and not limited to individuals. It has become a catch-all phrase for conservatives worried about discussions and lessons about race in public secondary schools. 2 conservative candidates backed by the Freedom Foundation PAC won their Republican primaries in March, L.J. Francis and Aaron Kinsey, who defeated Johnson. The PAC has also supported Will Hickman, Republican member from Houston, who made a minute plea to support the charter. "I'm voting in favor to provide an opportunity to parents and kids in Northwest Houston who want a public classical option that's not currently available," he said. Last year, the Texas legislature banned critical race theory in public schools, though the concept wasn't included in Texas public schools' curriculum standards. "When we really look into it, it's an effort to stop diversity and inclusion in our schools. You can't stop that because Texas has more black and brown kids, and it's growing every year," Davis said. "It's well documented that you are trying to do this politically. You're trying to affect our kids through schools. It's a hard no for me. Saunders pointed to the legislature's decision to ban critical theory from being taught in schools and said he supports the PAC's other initiatives, such as strengthening school boards and squeezing out sexually explicit material from schools. Robinson, a Republican from Friendswood, questioned Sanders' ethics, saying it seemed to him he was trying to remake the board after his charter was denied before. "It speaks to your credibility," Robinson said. Sanders, in response, said he wasn't involved in where donations went. "My family and I have a long history of supporting education incentives, and part of our involvement includes a history of supporting public policy and education incentives," he said. During the questioning of Heritage Classical Academy, State Education Board member Georgia Perez, a Democrat from El Paso, also read a Facebook comment of the school's board secretary, Catherine Vanderpool. She posted a comment 5 years ago about the Washington Women's March that said that organizers wanted to impose Sharia Islamic law on the United States. "Why would this person with this beliefs be your choice for school leadership?" Perez asked. Deputy, two officers had chance to shoot Uvalde school gunman. The Associated Press, Uvalde. Two Uvalde City police officers passed up a fleeting chance to shoot a gunman outside Robb Elementary School before he went in and killed 21 people inside the school. A senior sheriff's deputy told the New York Times, "That would mean a second missed opportunity for officers to stop Salvador Ramos before the May 24th rampage inside the school that killed 19 children and two teachers." Officials said that school district police drove past Ramos without seeing him in the school parking lot. The unidentified officers, one of whom was armed with an AR-15-style rifle, said they feared hitting children playing in the line of fire outside the school, Chief Deputy Ricardo Rios of nearby Uvalde County told the newspaper. "The officer's chance of stopping Ramos quickly passed, perhaps in seconds," Rios said. Messages from the Associated Press to Rios and Zavala County Sheriff's Office have not been returned. The Zavala County Sheriff's Office responded to the shooting in reports of Uvalde and Uvalde County officers. Rios said he shared the information with the Special Test House Committee investigating the school massacre. Honoring the Velvets. Former Blackshire teacher Frizella Whitaker, Robert Earl Thursdays, and Martha Price Wilson were on hand as the plaque honoring the Velvets was unveiled in front of Blackshire Elementary School Saturday afternoon. After County Treasurer and Blackshire alumni Cleopatra Calloway recounts the story of the Velvets and their history with Blackshire High School Saturday in the Blackshire Auditorium. Robert Earl Thursby, sole remaining member of the Velvets, was on hand as the Velvets were honored in connection with the Juneteenth celebration, taking place in Odessa this week. The Velvets were an American doo-wop group from Odessa. They were formed in the 1959 by Blackshire 8th grade English teacher Virgil Johnson and four of his students, Mark Prince, Clarence Rigsby, Robert Earl Thursby, and William Solomon. Republican convention calls Biden's win illegitimate, rebukes Carnan, by Sewell Chan and Eric Nirenbergen, the Texas Tribune. Houston. Meeting at their first in-person convention since 2018, Texas Republicans on Saturday acted on a raft of resolutions and proposed platform changes to move their party even further to the right. They approved measures declaring that President Biden was not legitimately elected and rebuked Senator John Cornyn for taking part in the bipartisan gun talks. They also voted in a platform that declares homosexuality an abnormal lifestyle choice and calls for Texan school children should be taught to learn about the humanity of the preborn child. The action capped a convention that highlighted how adamantly opposed the party's most active and vocal members are to opposing with Democrats or moderating on social positions. Even as the state has grown more diverse and Republican margins, statewide elections have shrunk slightly. Votes on the platform were collected at the end of the party's three-day convention, in which party activists moved to add multiple items to their official platform. As the convention closed, two separate sets of ballots, one allowing delegates to choose 8 of 15 legislative priorities and another allowing delegates to vote on 275 platform planks, were gathered. Those will now need to be tallied and certified in Austin, but in the rare form of a plank to be rejected, according to a party spokesman, James Wolslick, the convention reinforced the extent to which former President Donald J. Trump's unfounded claims of a stolen election continue to respond among the party faithful, even though his claims have repeatedly been debunked, including by many of his own former aides, and after a week of television hearings about the Trump supporters who formed on the Capitol on January 6, 2021. The denunciation of Cornyn represented a remarkable rebuke to the Republicans who had served in the Senate since 2002. The hall at the George R. Brown Convention Center in Houston filled with boos on Friday as he tried to explain to the legislation which wouldn't allow juvenile records to be incorporated into background checks for gun buyers younger than 21 and encourage red flag laws that would make it easier to remove guns from potentially dangerous people, along with more funding for school safety and mental health. Meanwhile, the party platform votes on Saturday to roughly 5,100 convention delegates would argue that those under 21 are most likely to need to be defend themselves and may need to quickly buy guns in emergencies such as riots. It also would say that red flag laws violate the due process rights of people who haven't been convicted of a crime. Around 9,600 delegates and alternatives were eligible to attend. Organizers said the turnout was healthy. The new platform would call for requiring Texas students to learn about the humanity of the preborn child, including teaching that life begins at fertilization, and require students to listen to live ultrasounds of gestating fetuses. Amending the Texas Constitution to remove the legislative power to regulate the wearing of arms with a view to prevent crime. Treating homosexuality as abnormal lifestyle choice, language that was not included in the 2018 or 2020 party platforms. Deeming gender identity disorder a genuine and extremely rare mental health condition, requiring official documents to adhere to biological gender and allowing civil penalties and monetary compensation to de-transgenderize who have received gender de-affirming surgery, which the platform calls a form of medical malpractice. Changing the U.S. Constitution to fix the number of Supreme Court justices at 9 and to repeal the 16th Amendment of 1913, which creates the federal income tax. Ensuing freedom to travel by opposing Biden's clean energy plan and California-style anti-driver policies, including efforts to turn laws, traffic lanes over for use by pedestrians, cyclists, and mass transit. Declaring all businesses and jobs as essential and a fundamental right, a response to COVID-19 mandates by Texas cities requiring customers to wear masks and limiting business hours. Abolishing the Federal Reserve, the nation's central bank, and guaranteeing the right to use alternatives to cash, including cryptocurrencies. Not every far-right proposal was advanced. The party chair, Matt Rinaldi, ruled that a motion to defend the due process rights of those who rioted in the Capitol of January 6, 2021, and reject the narrative that the riot was an insurrection was out of order and could not be voted on. Taken together, the new provisions would represent a shift even further right forward for the Republican Party of Texas, once known as the party of President George Bush and his son, George W. Bush, Land Commissioner John P. Bush, and grandson and nephews of the two presidents, was defeated handily last month in the race against Attorney General Ken Paxton, an arch conservative who sued to challenge the 2020 election outcome and convince voters that he was the truer Trump loyalist. Party platforms are mission statements rather than legal doctrine, and the texts they have long reflected the opinions of most activist wings of the party. Republican elected officials are not bound to adhere to them, And at times, party activists have expressed frustration that some parts of their platform and legislation priorities have not become law despite complete Republican control of the state government. But the platforms are broad indicators of the sentiments of most active Republican voters, those who dominate party primaries. Republicans have controlled every statewide office in Texas since 1999 and both houses of the legislature since 2003. So the wishes of the party's populace, pro-Trump base, inevitably affects actions taken in Austin. At Westminster Dog Show, new focus on veterinarians' welfare. The Associated Press, New York. The dogs get the spotlight, but the upcoming Westminster Kennel Club show is also illuminating a human issue, veterinarians' mental health. In conjunction with a first-time Veterinarian of the Year award that will be presented at the show's final day Wednesday, the club is giving $10,000 to a charity focused on veterinarian professional psychological welfare. It's a new emotional territory for the 145-year-old event at a point when the coronavirus pandemic and a changing culture have barred the internal struggles of people from school children to healthcare workers to college athletes and professional sports stars. For veterinarians, too, the pandemic added new strains, wrung out clients, soaring caseloads and more, and amplified long-standing ones. We love what we do, and there's a certain mystique about working with animals. A lot of people think we play with puppies all day long, but there's a lot behind this, said American Veterinary Medical Association President Jose Icker of San Juan, Puerto Rico. He hopes Westminster Award will educate people about vets' well-being. The show began with an agility competition Saturday and continues Monday through Wednesday with the Best in Show prize awarded on Fox Sports FS1 channel Wednesday night. For the first time, some action will also appear on the Spanish-language Fox Deportes. Nearly 3,500 canines, the most since the 1970s, are expected at the historic Landhurst Estate in Tarrytown, New York. Show co-chairman David Haddock said, "The 2,000-plus breeds and varieties include two newcomers, the Monday and the Russian Toy." It's the second year in a row that pandemic concerns shifted the United States' most storied dog show to its June date in suburban outdoor venue, rather than in New York's Madison Square Garden in winter. Westminster has given scholarships to veterinary students since 1987, but the new award recognizes a practicing vet. Inaugural winner Dr. Joseph Rossi has treated many show dogs in the North Penn Animal Hospital in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, and his wife, Norwich Terrier, Dolores, won the breed at Westminster in 2020. Co-sponsored by pet-insured Trupanion, the honor comes with a contribution to Mighty Vet, which offers mentor courses and other support on topics including life balance, handling tough conversations with clients, and looking for signs of colleagues might be in serious distress. We want to make sure that our animals are taken care of, but to do that, we need to make sure that our vets are taken care of, Westminster spokesman Gail Miller Bishop said. Concerns and research about burnout, depression, and suicidal among veterinarians have percolated for decades in the field, but the issue got wider attention after a 2019 study in the Journal of American Veterinary Medicine Association showed that a higher proportion of deaths due to suicide among U.S. veterinarians than in general population. Various other occupations have above-average suicide rates, according to the Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. As in human medicine, veterinarians feel the strain on handling emergencies, caring for the sick, and often starting out a career with six-figure student debt. Yellowstone flooding rebuild could take years, the Associated Press. Created in 1872 as the United States was recovering from the Civil War, Yellowstone was the first of the national parks that came to be referred to as America's best idea. Now the home of gushing geysers, thundering waterfalls, and some of the country's most plentiful and diverse wildlife is facing its biggest challenge in decades. Floodwaters this week wiped out numerous bridges, washed out miles of roads, and closed the park as it approached peak tourist season during its 105th anniversary celebration. Nearby communities were swamped and hundreds of homes flooded as the Yellowstone River and its tributaries raged. The scope of the damage is still being tallied by Yellowstone officials, but based on other national park disasters, it could take years and cost upwards of $1 billion to rebuild an environmentally sensitive landscape, where construction season only runs from the spring thaw until the first snowfall. Based on what park officials have revealed and Associated Press images and video taken from a helicopter, the greatest damage to roads, particularly on the highway connecting the park's north entrance in Gardner, Montana, to the park's offices in Mammoth Hot Springs. Large sections of the road were undercut and washed away as the Gardner River jumped its banks. Perhaps hundreds of footbridges on trails have been damaged and destroyed. This is not going to be an easy rebuild, Superintendent Cam Shawley said early in the week as he highlighted photos of massive gaps of roadways in the steep canyon. I don't think it's going to be smart to invest potentially, you know, tens of thousands of dollars to however much it is into repairing a road that may be subject to seeing a similar flooding event in the future. Reestablishing a human imprint in a national park is always a delicate operation, especially as changing climate makes natural disasters more likely. Increasingly intense wildfires are occurring, including one last year that destroyed bridges, cabins, and other infrastructure in Lesson Volcanic National Park in Northern California. Flooding has already done extensive damage in our parks and is a threat to virtually all the more than 400 national parks, a report by the Rocky Mountain Climate Organization found in 2009. Mount Rainier National Park in Washington State closed for 6 months after the worst flooding in history in 2006. Damage to roads, trails, campgrounds, and buildings was estimated at $36 million. Yosemite Valley in California's Yosemite National Park has flooded several times, but suffered its worst damage 25 years ago when heavy downpours on top of a large snowpack, a scenario similar to the Yellowstone flood, submerged campgrounds, flooded hotel rooms, washed out bridges and sections of the road, knocked out power and sewer lines. The park was closed for more than 2 months. Congress allocated $178 million in emergency funds, a massive sum for park infrastructure at the time. An additional funding eventually surpassed $250 million, according to a 2013 report. But the rebuilding efforts, once estimated to last 4 to 5 years, damaged out after 15, due in part to environmental lawsuits over a protective river corridor and a long bureaucratic planning and review process. It's not clear if Yellowstone would face the same obstacles, though reconstructing the road that runs near Mammoth Hot Springs while steaming water bubbles up over the otherworldly series in the stone terraces presents a challenge. It's created by a unique natural formation of underground tubes and vents that pass the hot water to the surface and would be one of the natural wonders crews would have to be careful not to disturb, said Brett Hartle, Government Affairs Director at the Center of Biological Diversity. Along the formation itself, there are also microbes, insects that thrive in the environment, found almost nowhere else. And the park will need to avoid damaging any archaeological or cultural artifacts in the area, which are rich in Native American history. They'll have to look at all the resources the park is designed to protect and try to do this project as carefully as possible, but they're always going to try to go fairly quickly, Hartle said. Having to reroute the roadway that hugged the Gardner River would be an opportunity to better protect the waterway and the fish and other species that thrive there from oil and other microscopic populations that come from passing vehicles, Hartle said. The river will be healthier for it. The Yosemite flood will send by the park as an opportunity to rethink its planning and not necessarily rebuild in the same places, said Frank Ding, president and chief executive of Yosemite Conservatory and a former park ranger. Some facilities were relocated outside the floodplain, and some campgrounds that had been submerged in the flood were never restored. At Yosemite Lodge, cabins had been slated for removal in the 1980s, were swamped and had to be removed. The flood took all that out like a precision strike, Dean said. I'm not going to say it's a good thing, but Providence came in and made the decision for them. Yellowstone's recovery came at a rapidly growing number of people line up to visit the country's national park. Even as backlog of deferred maintenance budget grows into tens of millions of dollars, the park was already due for funding from the Great American Outdoors Act of 2020, law passed by Congress, and authorized nearly $3 billion for maintenance and other projects on public lands. Now it will need another infusion of money for more pressing repairs, said Emily Deutsch, Director of Operations and Park Funding at National Park Conservation Association. Estimates could hit at least $1 billion. The southern half of the park is expected to reopen next week, allowing visitors to flock to Old Faithful, the rainbow-colored Grand Prismatic Spring, and the Grand Canyon of the Yellowstone in its majestic waterfall. But the flood-damaged north end may need to reopen this year, depriving visitors from seeing Tower Falls and Lamar Valley, one of the best places in the world to see wolves and grizzly bears. Some days during the high season, an animal sighting could lead to thousands of people parked up on the side of the road hoping to catch a glimpse. Whether some of these areas are reopened will depend on how quickly washed-out roads can be repaired, downed trees can be removed, and mudslides cleared. Maintaining the approximately 466 miles of roadway through the park is a major job. Much of the roadway originally was designed for stagecoaches, said Kristen Bringle, Senior Vice President of Public Affairs for the National Park Conservation Association. Part of the effort of the last couple of decades has been to stabilize the road to make it safe for healthier vehicles to travel on it. The entrance to Yellowstone National Park is a major tourist attraction, sits closed due to the historic floodwaters on Wednesday in Gardner, Montana, created in 1872. Yellowstone was the first national park to have been referred to as America's best idea. Now the home to soaring geysers and some of the country's most plentiful and diverse wildlife is facing its biggest challenge in decades. David Goldman, The Associated Press.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.